Hello and welcome to this week's edition of International Media. In this week's program, we travel to Turkey, where a writer has just been released from jail. We'll also take a look at the number of journalists killed in 2016. Good news, the number went down compared to 2015. And for our main topic of the week, we'll talk about a new study that highlights the surveillance female journalists face in Pakistan. But first, the latest news on the international media scene.
International media.
A court in Istanbul ordered the release, pending trial, of award-winning novelist Asli Erdogan and linguist Nekmeye Alpay. The two had been in jail since August on charges of belonging to a terrorist organization and undermining national unity after writing for a pro-Kurdish newspaper closed by the authorities. In the 5 months she spent in custody, the novelist became a symbol of the crackdown on press freedom carried out by Turkish authorities. She spoke to RFI after being released.
Of course I have fears. I mean, they just let me out of the jail. They didn't acquit me. And I have still on my list four, you know, horrible articles from life sentence to 2.5 years. They are still there, but there's a strong chance that I will be acquitted from most of them, but I have a feeling they will give me a sentence, maybe 2 years or so. And it can change any day. Maybe there will be a phone call and they will give me a longer sentence. So surely I am very afraid of this court. Nothing is finished. I'm only out of jail for the time being.
Let's now take a look at what happened last year. According to the International Press Institute, or IPI, 83 journalists died in 2016, a sharp decrease compared to 2015. Stephen Ellis, the communication director of the IPI, explains why that's the case.
Fortunately, there were not nearly as many journalists who were killed in 2016 as in the year before, but unfortunately, there were still at least 83 journalists who were killed in direct connection with their work, we believe. And beyond that, another 40 journalists who also lost their lives under circumstances that are as yet unclear in terms of whether they were targeted for their work or not. So that's still far too many.
Do you think this decrease is the beginning of a trend?
We would really hope that it's the beginning of a trend. Unfortunately, I don't know that there's any evidence necessarily to show that. One of the biggest differences in terms of the numbers that I'm looking at between 2016 and 2015 was that the number of journalists who were specifically targeted for murders was down. And it appears that the big difference between the 2 years was in 2015, many more journalists were directly targeted for murder by militant extremists. That's particularly true in Iraq and Syria under areas held by the Islamic State group, but also we saw it in France, in Turkey, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Somalia. So we're hopeful that, you know, the numbers will continue to go down, and we're happy that there were fewer murders. But at the same time, especially the amount of murders of journalists or killings of journalists that are unsolved, which is about 40, and the vast majority of those are in Latin America, is a real problem because the lack of information about those killings shows that climate there, and it remains an ongoing problem.
What do you think the solution is there? Is it a case-by-case approach, or is there some kind of general answer?
I think it's definitely going to be a case-by-case solution. One of the things that the world needs to do is make sure that these sorts of crimes are brought to light and that governments are pressured to make sure to investigate them and bring the perpetrators to account. But other governments that are engaged in actions targeting journalists in combat situations, for example, those governments need to be held to account as well for what, in our view, would amount to war crimes. It's going to be different, you know, whether it's a combat zone, whether it's a country that has internal civil unrest. So I think it's a little bit difficult to say that there's an overarching solution beyond the fact that the world needs to pay attention and needs to make sure that individuals who are responsible for preventing these or for investigating these crimes do their jobs.
And now to our main topic of the day. In Pakistan, the Digital Rights Foundation recently unveiled a study on how surveillance impacts female journalists. The research takes a look at 7 journalists and focuses on gendered form of surveillance and harassment in Pakistan. The paper argues that Pakistani female reporters tend to face a different kind of pressure than their male counterparts. For more on this, I talked to Shimla Khan, a member of the Digital Rights Foundation and head of the study.
We wanted to study surveillance as not just a general concept, but how it manifests itself differently according to the identity of who is being surveilled. Normally, when you think of surveillance, you think of like the state surveilling a particular kind of person, and that surveillance being uniform regardless of the gender or ability of the person being surveilled. But so we wanted to break that down, and we wanted to find out what the experiences were of female journalists who face surveillance and what kind of gendered surveillance that they faced. We went into the study not sort of with a preconceived idea of what gendered surveillance looked like, but soon it became clear that if we expand the definition of surveillance to not just state surveillance or traditional forms of surveillance, but to social surveillance as well. By that we mean audience members or anybody online who reads your work and then responds to it, that also is a type of surveillance, and that can also take gendered forms. And also, again, we found with state surveillance that the state often used women's gender against them in order to threaten or intimidate them. They were surveilled almost as much as their male counterparts, but that the form that the surveillance took was different. Because of their gender.
You're talking about gendered surveillance. How is it different from what male journalists face?
So gendered surveillance mostly meant that women, their appearance or their sexuality or the different ramifications that entails from their gender. For example, being a woman in Pakistan and how that makes you vulnerable. Those were often used against the female journalists to sort of communicate to them that their position is vulnerable and that the people surveilling them can then use that against them. So for male journalists, we found that they were usually subjected to, for example, physical surveillance, or would a lot of male journalists had faced some sort of physical violence or intimidation. But with women, it was more psychological. They were mostly made aware of their gender, and they were told that like their families would be made vulnerable, or their so-called, that their reputation can be compromised in different ways.
How do you explain those differences? Does it have something to do with the society in Pakistan?
That's an interesting question. Some of the women that we, sort of female journalists that we were interviewing, they, especially those working for international media organizations or people who had interacted with foreign female journalists working within Pakistan, they said that Pakistani women were more likely to face this kind of surveillance. It made it clear to us that because the societal norms in Pakistan and in countries similar to Pakistan also play a role in the form that surveillance and the gendered form that it's taking. Because a lot of female foreign journalists working in Pakistan would not be given the same threats. The threats, for example, if they were to receive them, would be different or the same as men. But because there's a lot of gender norms and sort of a lot more at stake when it comes to Pakistani society, and it's sort of different for them, that is often used against them. So it's a sort of, it interacts interestingly with the local gender norms, definitely.
What kind of impact does this have on female journalists?
Almost everyone that we spoke to during the course of our study said that it takes a psychological toll, that it takes a emotional toll, not only on their work, but also spills over into their personal lives, because gendered surveillance is so personal that it targets your gender, your reputation, your character, that it automatically becomes about the person, and it starts to take a toll. And it also affects their journalism in the sense that a lot of women said that they were reluctant to report on certain issues, for example, relating to civil-military relations or anything relating to conflict areas, or Pakistan's relationship with India, for instance, or the security situation in Pakistan. So it definitely affects the topics that they choose, what they say about those topics, and if they end up talking about or they end up writing on any of these issues, that they say that they have to be very cautious for the next few months.
That was Shimla Khan of the Digital Rights Foundation in Pakistan. And this brings us to the end of this week's International Media with me, Fabien-Yannick Charbonnel.